What's up, people? Time for another movie retrospective.
The Craft.
Going witchy on this one.
Yeah, the Craft. This is another movie we grew up with. 90s. I was just coming out of the Army and I saw this.
Yeah, 1996 this came out. I was 6 years out of high school, so yeah. I had finished college.
I was like 2 years out of the Army, and then this came on. I think I saw this in the theater.
I might have as well, yeah. Now that I'm like thinking about it.
Yeah, it was good. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's
Feruza like, was cool in it.
I've been wanting to do this one for a while because even though I was talking to somebody on YouTube about, I guess like something that I said when we reviewed Event Horizon, how I said I wasn't like super crazy about 90s movies. I don't mean like 90s movies in general. I mean like horror sci-fi movies from the 90s. Now this one, it has some of the things that I don't like about 90s movies, but for some reason this one like gets away with it. You know what I mean? This is one of the only ones that does.
I liked 90s movies. They were kind of formulaic. But
yeah.
In a way, it was kind of comforting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That format that they would give it, you know, give a movie to you, you know. They gave you a movie in a certain way most of the times.
Yeah.
It was like a 90s way of doing it, which I, you know, it's all right.
It was, I don't know, everything just seemed like very slick.
Yeah.
Which this movie does as well, which I'm not a big fan of that usually. But I really liked this one. Just because I think this might have been the first time that I saw at least like a big mainstream movie that
had goth girls in it. Right?
Well, no, because I'd seen Beetlejuice.
That's true.
That had Lydia. Yeah. That was 88 yeah, or 89. This is the first one that actually showed witches or Wiccans in like a fairly realistic light. It didn't just show like witches as like bad guys.
Right.
It was kind of like more nuanced than that, which I don't think I'd ever seen in like a big kind of studio picture before.
In my meathead type way, I just kind of broke it down as basically being the same thing as the Jedi and the Sith.
Which is what it is.
That's what it is. That's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
A Japanese interpretation of witches or wizards and, you know.
Yeah, because the nice thing about this one is that even though it's interesting because this doesn't really have like a protagonist and antagonist type of thing. I mean, you could say that Feruza Balk's character becomes like the villain or the antagonist, but she's also still kind of sympathetic and you can see like how she ended up going down the path that she went down.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like, you know, the way that these four girls interacted was kind of like, you know, witchcraft is real, but it's just a power out there that you can use for good or evil. Like the power itself is neutral. You know what I mean?
Like the force. Yeah.
And so it's basically kind of like the same thing. And like I said, I think this might have been the first, at least big movie that had portrayed witchcraft that way, rather than just making them straight up bad guys.
Last night we were at the club and was talking to a guy who saw some of my videos about robots and stuff. And I brought up the fact that the guy who wrote these stories, Go Nagai, who's kind of like the Japanese version of Stan Lee. He was Japanese, but he was in a way kind of like a crypto-Christian. And in a way, you could kind of interpret Star Wars as a Japanese type of Catholicism. It wasn't so much Shinto, but Buddhism and Catholicism mixed. Well, his cartoons were kind of like that, too. And they predated Star Wars. It makes me wonder if maybe Lucas had seen or had heard about some Go Nagai comic books, because they were, you know, you had read them, so you don't know the stories.
Yeah.
But because there was that big East meets West thing, and West meets East. They kind of merge, and witches are in there. The way this is kind of shown, it's a lot like Star Wars to me. You know.
Well, yeah, like I said, and that seems like a more rational way to look at things because, you know, like I said, it's this power that's out there, whether it's witchcraft, whether it's the force, whatever you want to call it, it can be tapped into by people that have the ability to do that.
It's also chi.
Yeah, or, chi. You know, and it can be, like, used for either thing.
And yin-yang, the symbol of chi, it's dark and light.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're kind of like chasing one another and kind of canceling one another out. You know, the light and the dark, good and evil. God, the devil, it's that same motif.
Yeah.
Kind of universal, I guess.
Yeah. And I like that this was kind of the first movie to show that rather than having it be kind of like a black and white, like, you know, villain. And, you know, here's this girl that comes into town and like the witches are the villains. It's really not like that. It doesn't like judge her for being a witch because really, so.
The way it ends and everything is it evil wasn't punished really by an outside force, was it? Evil punished itself.
Yeah, because what they ended up doing, I mean, I'll get into that in a little bit, but it's like, you know, she kind of ended up using the power against the person that was using it for evil. So she was using the same thing. Yeah, and it didn't kill her or anything like that. Yeah. But yeah, so Robin Tunney plays Sarah, and she's had some problems in the past. Like, she's attempted suicide and various other things. And they have moved to Los Angeles from San Francisco, and they move into this really big, nice, like Mediterranean looking mansion, which is pretty fantastic. I don't know if it's still there. That's an actual mansion that they shot. Not the interiors, that was the set, but the exteriors are all and that witchcraft store that they go to, that's a real store too.
Yeah,
which actually might still be there. Because I've seen like photographs of it. I don't know how long ago, if it closed or whatever. But so she moves there, and at this school, it's a Catholic school. But there's this group of three girls that everyone kind of like, they're kind of bullied. They're not exactly like shit on a lot, but it's like, you know what I mean? They kind of get whispered about and made fun of and stuff like that.
They're the misfits.
Yeah. They're just kind of like these three misfit girls. Yeah. And, you know, the rumor is that they're witches. Now, the thing about it that's interesting is that even though the three of them are witches and basically doing, you know, Wiccan ceremonies, even though I don't think they call it Wicca in the movie.
They don't ever refer to it as anything.
Yeah, they just call them witches. That's all they do. They don't say anything. But it's interesting to note that there was, for this movie, there was a Wiccan, like, expert who did, who was a consultant on the movie. And, like, so a lot of the invocations and stuff like that they do, I recognize them from, like, some old witchcraft books that I used to read. So it's like, so it is very accurate. Even though the spirit they invoke, Manon, that's not a real... They made that up for the movie just because, ironically, they were afraid they didn't want to, like...
They want people out there worshiping.
Well, they didn't want to invoke a real one just in case.
That's funny.
Like, just in case it was real. You know what I mean? Which I thought was kind of funny. But yeah, so ironically, these three girls that are at this school that are already, you know, a coven or whatever, they're doing the ceremonies and everything, but they don't actually have any powers. Now, Sarah, the main character played by Robin Tunney, she does have powers. Like, she has like natural witchcraft ability, which you find out later like came from her mom, who I think is dead, because when she's in the classroom and one of the other girls sees her and she's doing that thing with the pencil where it's just like standing up and like spinning around and like going down into the desk, and she's just like doing it like that, and she's doing it like without even thinking about it. So basically what ends up happening is that the three girls who are in this coven already, they are like, well, she's got to be our fourth now, because she's the one with powers. So in a way, I don't want to say that they're using her from the outset, because I mean, they did befriend her. They did help her, you know, so it's not kind of like that, but they did sort of, because I was watching this other review the other day and he said, you know, they're leeching off her power. They didn't have any. But the fact that she came there and she had powers, and then all of a sudden when they started doing their ceremonies, like shit started to work.
Yeah.
Like shit that they started asking for, like started to really happen.
I kind of forgot about that element of the movie. That's right. They didn't have any powers until she
They didn't.
They were just pretending that they did.
And I was like, and I didn't even really, and I've seen this movie like a billion times, and I guess that didn't really occur to me.
It didn't really occur to me either. Yeah.
That they were essentially like stealing her powers. Yeah. I don't think they were doing it like in that sort of way, like how that sounds.
They eventually got their own powers. They were channeling hers.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, I think she was the only one that had natural powers.
They kind of learned theirs, I think.
And so they were just doing the invocations and stuff, but I don't know. They don't really go into if shit was working for them before she got there, because if you remember the one character that's played by Neve Campbell, who had had
cute as a bug in this movie,
she really was. Well, they all of them are who had all those burn scars like all over her back, and she had been, apparently she had been trying to like kind of wish them away like with the witch, and it hadn't been working. Didn't work until Sarah got there.
They didn't. And the powers that they had, they didn't really have any real powerful ones until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
They looked kind of dangerous. Like, what's her name? The character that Firouza played. What was the name of that character? Do you remember?
Shit.
Yeah, I forgot the name of the girl. They're just girls.
Nancy.
Yeah. She could cast an aura on herself to make her look like somebody else.
Yeah, because at one point she...
That was the first thing I saw that I was
like, makes herself look like, yeah.
That was the first magic power I think I remembered that she did, was to be able to do that.
Well, what they did first,
was there something else before
that? No, because it really just kind of built up to that.
It's a little
slow. At first, they were like just asking for, you know, kind of nice stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Although it must be said that Firouza Balk's character, one of the first things she wished for was that her abusive stepfather would drop dead of a heart attack, and he did.
Okay,
so which
that's kind of a power.
That's kind of shitty, but it's like he was a creep, and he was like molesting her. I think they implied.
And then
her and the mom got like a whole bunch of money, and they moved out of the trailer, like because he had life insurance.
And she was, and there was plausible deniability how he died.
Yeah, he just died of a heart attack.
Just died of a heart attack. So yeah, so it's kind of plausible deniability. You know, you weren't positive.
Yeah.
But it did happen.
But it did happen.
But when she went like that and turned herself into that other girl, I was like, oh yeah, she can really do it.
Well, they kind of like did that at the beginning, because you remember there was like near the beginning when they were first starting to hang out.
Yeah.
And then I think the first thing that they did was when they were out in the woods and they did an invocation and like all the butterflies came.
Yeah.
And then that one guy that was chasing them like got hit by a car or something like that. I think that might have been the first time where they were like, hey, like we did that because we were trying to run away from that guy and then a car hit him and we escaped.
We rented this, we watched this for free.
This was on Netflix.
It's on Netflix for free. Yeah.
I think it's on Netflix or Shudder.
Yeah, you guys should go watch it if you haven't seen it. It was a slick movie. Now that we're talking about it again, I mean, I saw it a long time ago. And I think I saw it in the theater. I liked it at the time, but seeing it again, it was a lot better than I remembered it. But there was
a
lot more to it than I remembered. I remembered it at first being kind of simple and vapid at the time, but it's probably because I wasn't really paying real close attention to it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I didn't realize that they really didn't have any powers. It kind of started slowly.
Yeah, and it did. And like I said, so they, you know, they started doing that. And then like when they were hanging out at one of their houses and they were doing that light as a feather, stiff as a board thing that I think every girl in America has done on their, it's like a slumber party. And then Sarah does a glamour. Mm. Where first she changed her eye color and everybody was like, oh, well, okay, subtle. But then she changed her hair color. Remember, she just like went like that and her hair changed.
And the CG looks good. It held up.
It does, actually. You can tell that that's like that was like keyed, because that's how they did like a green skirt or chroma key or something like that. Yeah. Because ironically.
Yeah, so it wasn't CG. It was some kind of, it was another effect.
Yeah, well, it is kind of, but it's, they have to like key it to different colors. Because the thing about it is that Robin Tunney's character, you know, Sarah, Robin Tunney had just been in Empire Records, which is also a pretty good movie, and she shaved her head for that. So when you're seeing her in The Craft, that's all a wig, which I didn't realize until you see the scene where she changes, where she has the glamour and changes her hair color. You can tell it's a wig then because it's kind of like close up and, you know, it changes color. But it didn't occur to me that that was a wig until like after I saw that. I haven't seen Empire Records in a long time either. But yeah, she had shaved her head.
Everybody's good in the movie. I still think Firouza is the fucking most striking one. That's the one I remember the most.
I think she's the one everybody remembers the most. Because everybody in this is good. You know, Neve Campbell is great in this. This was the same, because Skeet Ulrich is in this as well. And this was the same year that both of them were in Scream. But Neve Campbell is good in this because she is totally believable as a kind of misfit who is, you know, because she had all this burn scars, so she's really like insecure about it. She even calls herself a monster at one point. But she just has like her slumped over shoulders, and she's always wearing like all these layers and baggy clothes, and like she kind of always has her hair in her face and stuff. But then after she, you know, after they do the spell and they do like the, you know, and she goes and has the surgery and all the burn scars disappear. Like, she comes into the classroom with like a short sleeve shirt on and she looks all pretty. And
now, there was
like that.
Some plausible deniability with that too, because she was undergoing some kind of treatment.
Right.
When that happened. And the doctors thought that they did it.
Yeah. Which they would think.
But I was kind of, wasn't 100% sure one way or the other. I mean, but I guess the movie clearly tries to spin that as she did it, not the doctors.
Yeah.
I think they make it
because
clear.
I thought the implication was that she had been undergoing these surgeries, because I think they even made some kind of offhand comment about, like, oh, maybe it'll work this time or something like that. So she had been doing them like over and over again. It hadn't been working. And, you know, after Sarah came and they had like the four of them, like all the power together, then shit started to happen for them. Yeah. Unfortunately, for Rosa Bach's character, Nancy, she starts taking shit a little bit too far. Now, I mean, some of the stuff they do is mean, but understandable. Like I said, Nancy kind of like giving her creepy, molesty stepdad a heart attack, you know.
She wasn't a bad character.
That's what I mean. That's what's cool about her. She's relatable.
She just kind of went down the wrong path. She did wish for the death of her stepdad, but that might have been justified, or that might have been...
That's what I mean.
Maybe it didn't happen. And then later on, you know, she did seem to be trying to conduct an attempted murder. She was trying to kill that other girl.
Yeah, she was.
She didn't get it done, but, you know, and then how she ends up in the... I don't want to spoil the movie for people that haven't seen it, but,
I think probably most people have seen it.
Yeah, she ends up in an insane asylum, but... That's not necessarily a temporary, and that's not necessarily a permanent thing.
It
might have been temporary.
And I mean, some of the things too, like Rochelle, the one character who is, African American or mixed race, she gets made fun of a lot by this one, like, you know, fucking blonde bimbo kind of chick at school. And so Rochelle like makes the bitch's hair fall out.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. I was just kind of like, oh, well, shouldn't have been such a twat. Maybe that wouldn't have happened to you.
Yeah, and it's not implied that it's permanent. It's just
hair.
It's just hair. It could grow back.
I mean, there's a lot worse shit she could have done to her.
I thought Faruza did a great job on the Nancy character. She got the archetypal fucking goth chick of the 90s. That's
she looks fucking great.
When I was hanging out in Man Ray back at that same time, which is a club in Boston, goth club in Boston. Not there anymore. But that's the way a lot of them looked. That I don't know. We ran into Faruza at a horror
Spooky Empire.
Spooky Empire.
I think 2 years ago, maybe.
She was right behind me, getting coffee with me. I didn't know who that was. I didn't recognize her.
It's weird because we saw her like we were up on a
saw her later.
Yeah, and I saw her come out of like the back room, and I recognized her like immediately.
Right.
She looks almost exactly the same.
I didn't recognize her because I expected her to have black hair and stuff. She didn't. She had brown hair.
Yeah, it's brown.
I kind of think the way she played that character, I kind of think maybe she was a goth chick in her real life.
Yeah, she
kinda
wasn't
like that girl
that...
from 24. She really is one.
Yeah, like I don't
There's
think
something
she's...
about it wasn't a costume. It didn't seem costumey.
Right.
That seemed like something that.
Because that's a big thing, and maybe that's one thing that bothers me about some movies in the 90s, is that once the goth thing kind of started to get more popular and they started sticking it like in all these mainstream movies to make them seem like edgy or cool or whatever, it's like you could tell that a lot of those actors weren't like that because they never get it exactly
right.
Like
even in Terminator 1, the two punk rock guys, or three punk rock
guys. It's never right.
That's not the way they looked.
Then. No.
It's not the way they looked. That looked too clean and too... showy and too sophisticated.
It's just, it always really bothers me.
It looked like a costume for a goth.
And it's hard for me to put my finger exactly on what it is. It's just like the whole gestalt of it.
The clothes looked too new is one of the things.
That.
The clothes looked too new.
Maybe.
In terms of punk rockers.
Yeah.
The clothes always looked too new. They always looked a little bit too expensive. Things looked a little too bright and new. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could tell that wasn't clothes that was worn on a regular basis.
Yeah, they weren't lived in.
They weren't lived in type clothes, yeah.
And it might not have been... I mean, if the actor was better, you might be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
Like, these are just my regular clothes instead of, like, a costume that I got at Spirit Halloween, you know, because I'm dressing up as a goth or a punk rocker for Halloween or whatever. Because it's like, I get that vibe. They did it in the 80s, too. Because, like I said, punks were always, like, bad guys.
Yeah, for some reason.
And I never fucking saw any punks that looked like that.
When I was, you know, going to high school in the Michigan area, you know, fucking Bill Winger was fucking, you know, he was Bill, and I forgot a couple of other guys. You know, they were all the punk rockers, and they just hung out with us. We were kind of like the proto-goth slash metal guys, you know what I mean? That's at that time. It's before goth was really kind of like a thing in my life. But the punk rock guys were just like regular dudes, you know what I mean? They just had a different way of doing things, a different way of looking. We liked them.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Especially it's just... punk rock girls, you know, we liked them.
Yeah,
they were cool.
And I think that's what's kind of cool about, because like I said, I had seen, you know, Beetlejuice in 1988, and Lydia in that movie, played by Winona Ryder, I mean, that I knew some girls that looked like that was like kind of full on,
yeah,
like if you were going out, but...
In the United States, punk rockers and goths were middle class.
Yeah.
They were middle class. Now, I know in England, they'd probably been the fucking poor working class.
Yeah.
Originally, especially in the 70s, but, you know... No, man, in the 80s, you know, that's middle-class kids. They had money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I definitely feel like, you know, Nancy in this movie, you know, her outfits looked really good. And like I said, she didn't look like she was wearing a costume.
No, she looked like a real goth girl.
Like, I'm not saying that that's what she wore all the time, but...
To the club, that's what she would wear.
Yeah, it's like she didn't look like she was trying to be something she wasn't. I did hear that she was a Wiccan... And that she was into that kind of shit, so that may be why.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, that was going on then too.
Yeah,
but you know, at the time, you know, when I first saw her, my eyes were like boing. It's like, yeah, that was exactly the kind of look of the girls that was, you know, going to Man Ray.
Yeah, and the cool thing about it too is that even
she had the cutest teeth.
Yeah,
she got kind of sharp looking teeth with kind of a pouty lips or something. There's something about Feruza. She's got
she's totally cool.
She's like she might bite you. I like that kind of shit.
Yeah. She was really good in she was in Masters of Horror. She was in one of them called Pick Me Up. I think she was in that one.
Yeah.
I feel like she was. I mean, I'm sure she was in a lot of stuff, but she wasn't in enough stuff because in this movie, I mean, she is the thing that everyone remembers from this movie. Not only does she look fantastic, but she's just a great character. Like I said, she ends up kind of going nuts and like doing bad shit at the end.
In real life, she's taller than I thought she was going to be.
Yeah, she was actually. I thought she was a little bitty thing.
I thought she's like maybe 5'1 or 5'2 in real life, but I think that's probably the reason why I didn't recognize her. She was actually pretty tall and thin from what I remember. I don't know. Maybe she's wearing.
I heard she was only 5'4", which is maybe like my height or a little bit like an inch taller.
She must have been wearing some fucking shoes.
Yeah, she must have been.
Because I was under the impression when we ran into her that she was more like about 5'10".
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
Because I was under the impression when she was standing right behind me
that she was tall. Yeah. Maybe she just had really big shoes on.
Yeah.
I forgot too, like when she was a little kid, she was in Return to Oz.
That's right. That was a good movie.
Man, we'll have to like do that. That was like, that movie was like scary.
She was
cute
in that too, the adorable little thing.
Yeah, she was. I said, and you know, I don't know. I actually don't know if she's still acting or anything like that, but I do feel like she was kind of like the main attraction of this movie. Everybody else was good in it too.
Yeah, evidently they're doing a part two of this movie.
I thought it was a remake or a reboot.
The way I read it is that it was a sequel to this.
Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, they're doing it this year. I think it's this year. I think it just started shooting a couple months ago.
I may be wrong, but that's how I remembered it. I remembered it as being a sequel to this with the original cast, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. In fact, it should be said, I mean, and I know this is like a terrible thing to say, but I think like the main character, Sarah, who's played by Robin Tunney, is the least interesting character.
Yeah, I think so too.
She's kind of like, I mean, I guess she's kind of supposed to be because she's supposed to be just kind of like this girl next door. Normal. She's the
I think she's the mechanism in the story to show the other three girls because it's the other three girls that do all the interesting shit.
Yeah.
Make people's hair fall out. Fucking kill people. Make fucking butterflies come. Fucking transform shit. Nancy was doing exorcist type shit, making fucking furniture fly at you.
Yeah.
And stuff. Yeah.
And also she did a glamour to make Sarah think that her parents had died in a plane crash.
Yeah.
So, you know, like she was able to like put news on her TV. That looked like real news.
That's right. I forgot about that.
That's kind of messed up. Because she was trying to get her to like commit suicide again.
Yeah.
And oh, she slashed her wrist too. But then, like I said, you know, Sarah uses good magic like to counteract bad magic.
Yeah.
And so that's what. So like I said, I like that they didn't be like, oh, she had to be like power of Christ compels you or anything like that. Yeah. She was using the same power, just like kind of.
It's a good movie. I recommend
it. It is. Yeah. And it's interesting that. It did actually really well. I think it did like much better than they expected. Like when it came out in 1996, it only cost $15 million to make, and it made $55 million back, which was more than they were expecting.
I'd like to see it again because there was more to it
than
I remembered, and I really didn't quite catch every element of the movie that last time we saw it.
Yeah.
My mind start wandering, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, and like, I feel like over the years it developed such a huge cult following that, I don't know, but it seems like it was almost single-handedly or single-movedly, like, responsible for some of the kind of, like, supernatural stuff that came later on, particularly Charmed, the series. Yeah. I mean, Charmed is basically... This is a series.
Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
I mean,
did
shit,
that come
even
out after that?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Even like fucking Charmed used Love Spit Love's cover of The Smiths' How Soon Is Now for the theme. And that song was in this movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's, you know, Love Spit Love. He was like, that was Richard Butler from Psychedelic Furs, right? That's like his side band. But yeah, so you can see where like this movie was like massively influential in the sense that, as I said before, this, you kind of had like witches were like villains, whereas after this it was almost kind of like you saw a lot more movies and a lot more TV series that showed witchcraft in a more like balanced kind of light, or where it was kind of like a metaphor for like feminine power, or like women finding their power, which is kind of what it is in this movie. So I feel like this was kind of like a trendsetter in that way. Because there really wasn't much like that before. Not that I can remember offhand. You know what I mean? There might have been. But what was that weird George Romero movie that we watched the other day from the 70s? Season of the Witch.
Yeah.
That was kind of like... I don't know. I was going to say that kind of like was showing a woman like getting into like witchcraft and stuff like that. But I don't think it was like, wasn't really keyed as positive though.
I don't really like labeling this some kind of like a feminist empowerment or girl power type movie, because that kind of like cheapens it. If it makes it seem kind of like cliche. I didn't really ever see it that way. To me, it was just a witch story. And it was just young women doing what they do.
Yeah.
So I didn't really categorize it as that way. You know what I mean? As any kind of feminist political angle or agenda to the thing. I didn't really see it.
Well, I'm not saying that as a political thing. Oh, okay. I'm just saying that's kind of like, and that's probably how a lot of young women who watched it. I mean, that's definitely how I saw it when I watched it.
As something political?
No, not political. I'm just saying metaphorical for like, for like women coming into their
power. Yeah. Now when you say power. Now that when you say that, it brings to mind a whole new fucking ballgame, like what's happening right now. But that really wasn't the deal in the 90s. And I didn't really see the thing as any kind of political agenda statement. It was just women being who they were. I liked it.
I did as well. And like I said, it's kind of cool because the writer, the guy that wrote it and directed it, Andrew Fleming, he had been wanting to make a movie about, you know, high school girls and witchcraft and shit like that. This is so funny to me. I didn't actually realize this at the time. This movie is rated R, which might seem kind of weird because there's not a lot of gore. There's no nudity or anything like that in it. Not even a lot of swearing. What ended up happening was that the writer-director wanted this to be a PG-13. So he goes to the letter, like all the MPAA... you know, rules for making a movie in, you know, a PG-13. You can only have one, you can only say fuck once, you can't have too much gore, you can't have this, that, and the other. So he did that exactly right. And then he submitted it to the MPAA, and the MPAA said, oh, well, the fact that it's about high school girls practicing witchcraft means that it has to be an R. There's nothing you can do to change that.
Oh, then I
and he was like, well, God damn it. He's like, well, I would have put a bunch more stuff in it if I'd have known that.
Yeah.
And he was like really mad because apparently just that theme was enough to get in an R rating. So it's like, it seems very weird to me because this movie seems like for a horror movie, it's very tame. You know, there's some creepy imagery in it. There's lots of like, bugs and snakes and there's a little bit of blood, but Not much.
I never considered this to be a horror movie, actually.
It kind of is, but not really.
Now that you called it a horror movie, I was like, yeah, I guess this is kind of a horror movie. I kind of thought of it as more like an adventure movie.
Something, yeah, I guess so.
You know what I mean? Kind of like an adventure movie that had a bunch of women. Like I was saying, I don't think it's feminist in the modern terminology. Not like feminist intersectionalism and all this stuff that they had. It's not like that. It's just showing the way things really are, that women are bitches to each other, and they were getting even with these other bitches.
Yeah.
Some of these dudes are fucking total pricks and were lying and shit, and they exposed them. It's just a normal, it's the way shit really is.
Yeah.
You're not really.
Only if you had witchcraft powers.
If you had witchcraft powers.
Which is exactly what I mean. Right. You know what I mean? And I was a little bit older probably than the target audience for this movie, like when it came out, because I was already like out of college by this point. But I still like really dug it. And I think even Nancy's character, who, you know, kind of gets carried away and like tries to kill people at the end. But everything that each of them do, like every decision they make, like to use the power, you understand it. Because to be honest, most of the people that they fuck over with the spells kind of had it coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind
of. It's also because like you said, they tried to get that PG rating. It's still a movie for all ages, if you ask me. Young girls could watch this. Young guys could watch this. Older people. It would entertain everybody. They don't really make movies like this anymore. It's kind of like, to me, it was a movie kind of like Star Wars, but about witches.
Yeah.
Or like, what'd be another good one? Kind of like, there's a lot of parallels from movies around that time. Kind of like Lost Boys, but witches instead of vampires.
Although Lost Boys was a lot gorier.
A lot more gorier, yeah.
But, yeah.
But kind of like Lost Boys.
But similar tone.
Similar kind of situation. You know, it'd be like those two. Which, was Lost Boys a horror movie?
Sort of, but it had comedy in it too.
Yeah.
This one is not
kind of an action
really...
adventure movie.
Yeah, this one's not really... This one doesn't have as much comedy in it. There's like some funny lines in it, like, you know, Caruza Box, very famous, you know, with that bus driver saying watch out for the weirdos, and she says we are the weirdos, mister. But it's like, you know, there's little funny lines in it, but it's not, I wouldn't call it like a comedy. The Lost Boys seems like it has a lot more comedy in it because it has like the Frog Brothers and fucking Corey Haim being weird, yeah, like singing in the bathtub and everything like that. So, but you know, that one had a lot more gore in it. This one, it seems like this is kind of like the best of the 90s teen movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would put this up there
with
like Scream, which came out the same year and had a couple of the same actors in it. You know, where, you know,
it wasn't hokey.
Yeah.
It wasn't hokey. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, you know, real fucking corny or anything.
It really wasn't.
It had a cool slickness to it. And it wasn't really being real try-hardy. It wasn't trying to shock you or anything. It was just trying to tell you a good story. And I think it did.
Yeah, and that is something. It wasn't really, and I guess this is because they had a real Wiccan that was like on set that was like telling them how the shit went. And as I said, I'm pretty sure I've heard Fariza Balk is a Wiccan as well, or was at the time that this was made. So they treated it seriously, but... You know what I mean? It wasn't, like you said, they weren't trying too hard to like be cool or edgy or anything like that. It just kind of came across as any other belief system, which is what it is.
And the tone of the movie, I thought, was an entertaining realism. Sometimes realism isn't entertaining. It's kind of like a stylized version of realism.
Yeah.
Even the special effects and everything. Like when a paranormal event would happen, it would be a plausible paranormal event. You're like, oh, I can see that shit happening.
Yeah.
Because I saw a Poltergeist, you know, some people you don't know who I am. It was kind of like, I could, when you see a horror movies about Poltergeist, man, they got the shit all fucking wrong. No, that's not what it looks like. It's way overblown. But when I saw the special effects of this, I was like, yeah, if there was witches that had powers,
that's what
it would look like.
Because it's not completely crazy.
It wasn't completely crazy and not over the top. It's just like, oh, man, her hair color changed.
Yeah.
Wow, you know.
I mean, it doesn't really.
You almost kind of like buy into the effect too. You know, like that's like it's portraying something that a paranormal event that could actually happen like that. You go, yeah, that's it.
It didn't even get real nutty until the end when the two of them were kind of flying around and
there's like poltergeist
and
stuff.
And Fariza was making like the house look like it was filled with bugs and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they weren't really there. She was just making her.
Yeah,
see
well, that was all plausible, making somebody have visions, making somebody have hallucinations. RSPK, recurrent spontaneous psychokinesis, that was going on.
Yeah.
That's all consistent with poltergeist or possession cases and, you know, something like out of damn Carrie, you know, something like that.
Yeah, and this is...
So it wasn't over the top. I was just going like, man, you know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, fucked up. Yeah. But yeah, this is like really, do you know what it's, I found this an interesting fact. I found this on Wikipedia, but apparently they had over 80 actresses that were trying out for all different four parts there, the main parts, one of whom was Angelina Jolie.
She was a nobody then, though.
She was, what had she been in 1996? She'd been
like a couple of things.
Had she been in Girl Interrupted yet? She was good in that. I can't remember what year that came out. That might have been 94. I don't remember. I think I saw that in the theater,
Very
too.
Overrated. I mean, I like her, I guess you could say, but her beauty is very overrated. She doesn't look that good. Come on. I heard people just go, oh, she had women's subject going over it. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, yeah, she looks all right.
Yeah, she's right.
She's a good looking woman. But, you know, it's just overrated. Okay, like if you put Fairuza Balkan and her next to, I think Fairuza would be cuter. Than Angelina Jolie.
Well, Fairuza Balkan is kind of more, that's kind of more my type anyway.
Yeah, I think that's actually kind of cuter, I think. Even though Angelina, when she was real young in some of those movies, what was the one where she played kind of a little class of something or other, or what was it? What the fuck's the movie I'm thinking
about? I don't know what you're
She was young. She's probably about 18 or 19. She was pretty cute.
Yeah.
But, you know, just little skinny bitches, you know, come on. Little twiggy women.
Little twiggy women.
Man, I like some bass in that shit, man.
I know you do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is on Netflix. I think it's on Netflix, at least in the United States. So if you have not seen The Craft from 1996 and you're into witch movies, because really not a lot of those, and especially ones where, you know, Wicca is kind of like taken seriously and also kind of like a coming of age, not really a coming of age story, but kind of like a female coming, female power type of movie if you want to see that.
Now you turn off all the guys.
No.
I don't want to see it. Man, no, it's a good movie.
It is a good movie. It's like
if you like Lost Boys, you'd like it.
Hey, look, women have to watch shit with men in it all the time. Y'all can watch some shit with women in it once in a while.
Yeah, no, I don't see it, but I don't see it as any different as any other movie. I thought it was cool because it had the women, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes if you say, well, it's a coming of age, women in power, you're like, oh, man, this shit's going to fucking suck.
It's not like that.
It's not like that.
It's cool. It's badass.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Like I said, they do all kind of cool shit.
Yeah.
Kill people and make their hair fall. Yeah. I love it. Peruse's fingers turn into snakes. It's
like on par with Lost Boys.
Yeah.
Like a vampire movie. But
yeah, that would actually make a really good double feature now that I'm thinking about it. So yeah, like I said, I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's The Craft from 1996. We'll see you next time. Bye.